Welcome to the Jason Podcast. I'm Josie Briggs, Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Each month, we talk about work in the latest issue, and today I'm going to tell you about two highly impactful clinical papers in the August issue. The first paper provides new information about how to use our growing pharmacologic tools to slow progression of kidney disease. And the second addresses the impact of hypotensive events during hemodialysis on cerebral circulation. So, number one, progression. The first paper I want to draw your attention to is entitled Albuminuria Lowering Effect of Dapagliflozin, Eplerenone, and Their Combination in Patients with CKD, a Randomized Crossover Trial. The first author is Michelle Provenzano, and the work is done by the ROTATE 3 study group. As all nephrologists know, kidney disease tends to progress. Attention to this started, to my read, decades ago when Neil Bricker put forward the intact nephron hypothesis, postulating that when nephrons are lost to any disease process, the increased work for the remaining nephrons causes scarring. Barry Brenner, Tom Hostetter, and others took the challenge and explored the effects of glomerular hypertrophy and altered glomerular hemodynamics, first in rodent models. That work led to the trials that established the benefits of progression of blockade of the renin-angiotensin system, first ACE and then ARBs. But then things stagnated for almost two decades. All of that has changed in the last couple of years with the dramatic data that established the new therapeutic options to help prevent kidney failure, including sodium glucose cotransporter inhibitors, SGLT2 inhibitors, and less clearly, but also promising mineralocorticoid receptor antagonists, MRAs. This embarrassment of riches, this delight of having new agents, which truly have the potential to stop progression, has, however, resulted in many unanswered questions. Can or should these drugs be combined? If so, how and for which patients? In this randomized, open-label crossover clinical trial in patients with CKD with or without type 2 diabetes, Provenzano et al. Have taken on a one example of an important unanswered question. They have assessed the albuminuria lowering effect of the SGLT inhibitor and mRNA inhibitor eplerenone, individually or in combination. Using an elegant crossover design in which patients act as their own control, they demonstrate that the albuminuria lowering effects of either DAPI or eplerenone alone are additive when they are used together, resulting in clinically relevant reduction of 53% after 4 weeks of the combination treatment. The incidence of hyperkalemia was significantly less with the combination treatment compared with eplerenone alone. Now, these were short-term studies, 4 weeks. They did not directly measure progression. They measured albuminuria, which we know is a useful marker and generally correlate with progression. And they certainly don't establish long-term safety and efficacy. But these studies are, Jason and editors and reviewers believe, highly promising and support the urgent need for long-term clinical trials. Now to change course, the second paper I want to tell you about is entitled The Relationship Between Cerebrovascular Reactivity and Cerebral Oxygenation During Hemodialysis. The authors are Richardson, Schmidt, and Wolfram. Due to the rapid fluid removal and osmotic shifts that occur during hemodialysis, intradialytic drops in blood pressure are common. Don Wolfram has written extensively on cognitive dysfunction in hemodialysis patients. And her work and the work of others, notably C.W. McIntyre, have shown that patients with end-stage kidney disease on dialysis have a high burden of ischemic brain lesions, changes that are associated with increased risk of cognitive impairment, stroke, and dementia. This has led to the formulation of an important hypothesis that the vascular changes associated with hypotension during dialysis are causative in clinical decline in hemodialysis patients. I want to emphasize that this is a hypothesis, but an important one, and this study is one step in evaluating this concept. Richardson et al. Investigated whether cerebrovascular reactivity combined with blood pressure changes during hemodialysis were associated with declines in directly measured cerebral oxygenation during treatment session. Both the kidney and the brain show vascular changes called autoregulation that have the effect of maintaining circulatory flow when blood pressure falls. With healthy cerebrovascular reactivity, with good autoregulation, the impact of a fallen blood pressure on cerebral oxygenation is limited. In 26 dialysis patients, they did MRI scans on a non-hemodialysis day to measure cerebrovascular reactivity. And then they measured cerebral oxygenation directly during a hemodialysis session with a spectroscopic method. They found that lower cerebrovascular reactivity in gray matter regions of the anterior cingulate gyrus and insular cortex were significantly correlated with much greater changes in cerebral oxygen saturation during hemodialysis, particularly when accounting for changes in systemic blood pressure. So these findings suggest that cerebrovascular reactivity could be relevant to characterizing the risk of cerebral ischemia during hemodialysis. Not surprisingly, greater fluid removal was associated with increased risk. So this challenging and difficult study is reinforcing the need to better understand and reduce the risk of hypotension during dialysis. The two studies I've chosen to talk about today both represent high-quality clinical physiology. Both are relatively small studies, but studies that clearly delineate a way forward for care of our patients. So, thanks for your attention. I hope this conversation will prompt you to turn to the August issue, either online or in your mailbox. You'll find there are a number of interesting and important papers there. Thank you again.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare professional if you have any questions about any medical condition or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.